说说少年人的心声，
拨开成长的迷雾，
分享少年人的故事，
领略生命的精彩，
让梦想飞扬，
让心灵起航。
我们是一群阳光少年，
欢迎收听西雅图少年说。
欢迎大家回到西雅图少年说，我是 Jessie， 你们今天主持人。我们先让大家介绍一下自己吧。
大家好，我是 Logan。
大家好，我是 Lucy。
大家好，我是 Anna。
大家好，我是 Lily。
大家好，我是 Aiden。
大家好，我是 Brian。
好，那今天我们非常荣幸的邀请到了一位非常特别的嘉宾，他就是 Brenda Milewski。 Brenda 是一位非裔美国人，一位社会活动家。他曾经在美国陆军服役超过20年，还是一位经验丰富的领导力和思维模式教练。他目前呢担任公共演讲者协会，就是 Public Speakers Association 太平洋西北地区的执行董事，同时还主持了一档呢名为 Your Life Matters 的节目，致力于帮忙人们提升自我，找到生活的意思，是我们的前辈和楷模。在今天的节目中，我们将和 Brenda 一起探讨他的职业生涯，以及他如何通过思维模式和领导力的训练，帮助人改变生活。对于我们在场上的年轻听众们来说，这将是一次绝佳的学习机会。So Brenda, so I just introduced you in Chinese really quickly about your experience like with the military, Public Speaker Association, and also about your podcast. So I do want to ask you a couple of questions, the main one being about your military experience. Because many of our viewers, whether they recently immigrated to China or live in China, they don't know much about the American military experience. So can you just talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, so I want to say first that, you know, welcome to everyone that's listening to the show. Thank you so much for inviting me here. I've been in the military for over 22 years, and the first phase of the military is so important because what they do is you have a eclectic of different people of diverse cultures and different ethnicity, and it is the only organization on the planet that's able to take all these diversities and help us to meet and think as one entity so that we can be able to accomplish the mission that we do. So with the military forces, and I'm only going to speak at nighttime because things have changed this a little bit, we work together as a team. We are taught to appreciate each other. We are taught to work together. We are taught to diffuse and you know, do some critical thinking and able to work together as a team to resolve different issues. A military life is more of a secured life. And the reason why I say that, because those who are active duty, they either live on a military installation and so forth, but their world is governed under that military umbrella. So their needs are met depending on their important needs from there. So the thing is that military life, and I have to admit sometimes I miss very much so, is that it brings you on task so you know exactly what's going on, how to do things. And that's the biggest thing, is knowing how to accomplish things, no matter how difficult they are, and still come up with a good result. But the other thing about military life is that camaraderie. You know, we meet people from all over the country. For there to build relationships, to build friendship is the most, you know, for me, was the most important thing in the world, because you just don't get that out here in the community. And, you know, we have people with different diversities. We have people that's married in different cultures. And so forth. So when people say, and this is what bothers my heart a lot about the military, and these are some of the programs I don't like in the military, such as DEI, we don't need that thing. We have this natural compass to be able to want to be friends with other people, learn different cultures, visit different families. And there is no greater melting pot than being in the military force. So now, do we have some problems? Yes, we do. And the reason why I say that, because I served as a military recruiter. If you know what a recruiter does, we're the ones that assess and evaluate to see if the person's qualified to come into the service. But what people don't understand is many people, they come in, they have their own baggage. And some of them might come from a broken home. Some might have problems with the family. Some might from law enforcement, whatever the case may be. But when they come in into the first phase of the military program, which is that boot camp training, from there, that's where your character starts to be challenged, because you have to weed out everything that you were when you left home to become somebody totally different and new. But there's some people who don't know how to let go of the past, and the past makes it very troubling for them to build relationships like they should be building, or to be able to follow the leadership and instructions that the military provide. So those things do exist, but not as bad as what the world says it is.
That's a really great answer. And before I continue, I just want to remind everyone that feel free to cut in, ask any questions you want. It doesn't necessarily have to be a question you have really formulated really well and thought out. Just like feel free to ask any questions. And I actually do have another question for you. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really curious. I know you mentioned that you had to like really weed out the person they were before going to military and kind of really like bring out a character within them. So how do you really see, in your opinion, like how do most people change before versus after going to military? Because I've seen a lot of those, like, I know Insider Business has a bunch of videos on military colleges. I found really interesting. And there's also a lot of statistics about how many people drop out of military college, which I know is very different from an actual military. But what are your thoughts on that, like about the dropout rate and also how they change over time?
It comes by just one word, willingness. If you're willing, all right, to enter into a program and go through different changes, because basically what you're trying to do is invest in yourself. You're trying to change what you're trying to either escape from or trying to enhance. So when you are willing to go through those motions, then you'll be able to succeed. But you got to remember, many people come from different backgrounds, all right, and they don't have that self-confidence, that self-esteem's not there. They feel like they don't measure up with somebody else, or when they make a mistake, they capitalize on that mistakes, but they don't look at the mistakes as a stepping stone to succeed. They look at it more as a deterrent, and then they use that to lower their self-esteem. So for an example, I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. That's where my home is. Yay. And the thing is, I was raised, all right, with a broken home. My grandmother had to raise us, okay? But I was raised with verbal abuse, okay? Other thing is, my eyes weren't, you know, they were had problems with that, so I got teased about my eyes. There were just a lot of things that I went through. So the thing is that, you know, when I, you know, going for a job or going to school, whatever, yeah, that was in my mind, you know, the things that they were told to me. You'll never amount to be anything. What you're doing is a stupid idea. I don't know why you waste your time doing it. You know, you've got all those things that have been hammering you through the years when you were growing up. So the thing is that one is you got to be willing to go, you know what, I'm not going to have those negativities, all right, dictate who I am. Two is find somebody who is a great accountable partner, somebody who's going to invest in you and help you to rise up from those things. That's the most important thing, because doing it alone can be very tiresome. And so if you find that right person who's going to help you succeed and motivate you, encourage you, those are the two entities that's going to be help you to be able to change. That's your first two steps to make that possible.
Yeah, that's great. And whoever said about you not being successful, obviously they're very wrong. If they could see you now, I'm sure they would like take back their words immediately.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Can I ask why you decided to join the military? Because it's such a not the most common path. It's the mm-hmm. common path, you know, going to college or mm-hmm. trade school or directly into workforce. Mm-hmm. Military life is definitely not for anyone. So can I ask why you chose it?
So let me go back a little bit. As I said, I was a recruiter first. All right. So what people don't understand is those who goes into the military recruiting office, it's not because of the recruiter. All right. 90% of the people that comes in the military is because they want a change of life. I went at the age of 23, not at the age of 18 or 17. So when I went there, it was myself and another lady. She was 32. We were the two oldest ones there at the time when we came into the military. But I wanted a change of life. That's what entered to me. When I first thought about it, I went to college. I wanted to be a vet tech, love animals, the whole nine yards. Went to school for a couple of years. But my problem is that I get bored very quickly and stuff. So trying to finish college was just a hassle for me. Back in the days, college degrees was not a mandatory thing if you wanted to be a vet tech or work in an animal hospital. So I was able to work at an animal hospital for 4 years. So there, worked in the radiology department. It was the MSPCA in Boston, Massachusetts, and Jamaica Plain. My good friend Jean, we were like sisters, you know, from high school on. So wherever I work, she came, and wherever she worked, I went as well. So this time, we both worked together at the same animal hospital. And so by working there for 4 years, I started to get bored again. All right. And then the other thing is that I wanted to try to make a change of life, and I just didn't know what to do. So I'm sitting in the kitchen reading a newspaper, and I'm like, okay, hey, I like radiology. You know, I want to get some more training on this, but I don't know how to do it because I didn't have the money to go to school to do that. And so then there was the military right there. So I decided to go find an office, walked right in there, took the exam, and 1983, Brenda was enlisted into the Army Reserve.
Wow, that's very admirable. I don't think I could ever go through military life because I've seen so many videos on it. It's a very tough life, so it's very admirable. I really respect those who have, like, the mental strength and physical, of course, to go through it.
Let me tell you. The best soldiers that come through there are the ones who think they can't do it, not the ones who have the mental strength. You'd be surprised. Those who have that stamina, mental strength, are more challenged and willing to drop out than those who feel that they couldn't do it. And the reason being is that it's that whole mindset. Because with me, like I said, I was raised verbal abuse and wasn't sure. You know, with me, it was like I was not going to go home for somebody to tell me that I failed once again. All right. So the thing is, once again, it all depends on what you're going in life. But most of them that's out there that think they can't do it, they outshine the ones who can.
Wow, that actually makes a lot of sense if you really think about it. Because maybe the ones who think they can't do it, maybe feel like they have something to prove, perhaps, by succeeding in such a tough environment. And then it really, like, makes a person out of them, like, changes them to a very resilient person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that kind of moves on. I just really want to ask you about your show, Real Life Matters. So can I, for those who may not be familiar with it, can you just, like, give a quick explanation about what it is, what you talk about, and why you decided to start it?
Okay, so Your Life Matter was a program that I started some years ago. And the reason being was, I think it was after the George Floyd thing. And I'm not a Black Lives Matter individual, not one bit. And I really don't believe in it from there. And so I said, you know, they cannot be the only voice that the world hears. And that's what got me started to create Your Life Matters, because every person on this earth, life matters. And every person was created for a purpose. The thing is, one race is not greater than the other. All right. And then there are other ethnicities that went through a hard time. You know, when China came in years ago, they were part of the railroad here from California. They went through a hard time. Do I exempt them? You know, Japan had a hard time during World War II because here in Washington State, they were in concentration camps, if we call it that, down at Western Washington Fairgrounds and other places in Washington State. Do I ignore what happened to them? People don't realize, you know, in Boston, you had the Irish against the Italians. You know, do they get exempt? So the thing is, no, we can't do that. Everybody had hardship. No fish is bigger than another fish story. That we need to kick to the curb. So the thing is, every life matters, all right? Every person needs to be treated fairly. Every person needs to know that their presence is valued, all right? And you have something to bring to the table. I love diversity. From there, as I call it, variety is the spice of life. Who wants bland food all the time? You're right. You need things that dress up things and make things colorful and so forth. But then again, how do you get to learn about anybody if we decide to shun people up because their eyes are different or they wear a different color hair or, you know, gender or whatever the case may be? It's got to end. So that's why Your Life Matter was so important to me. Some of the people I brought on my show as an example. When it came to, I don't know if you heard about Brenda Straka. Brenda Straka had a campaign because he was supporting Donald Trump and because that, you know, they were supporting the LGBT community. And so I interviewed one of his partners that first started with him from there. I interviewed Jeffrey McCall, who is my heart, who was a transgender. He changed his life by accepting the Lord. From there, so he started a program called Freedom March, and that's what caught my attention. How was somebody going into the LGBT community? He wasn't trying to convert anybody. All they were doing was sharing their story in regards to how their life changed when they decided to accept Christ. So that's a bold move. So I said, you know, that's a good story for me to tell, because there's many people out there that might not be bold or strong enough to say, I want to talk about this, but somebody is willing to do that. There was another show that I did where a failed abortion, you know, abortion is a big issue. And so I spoke to a young lady who was a failed aborted baby. You know, how did she, you know, react to her mother? You know, was there forgiveness, you know, or resentment, you know, those type of things, you know, that people can get the other side of the story.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Actually, was it 10th or no, it was my junior year of high school. We actually had a class in my history class about political polarization in the United States. And my teacher talked about a lot of things about how people aren't really willing to look at or accept diverse viewpoints. And I found it really interesting because I did a project on it. Remember the statistics showing that the United States has been more and more polarized over the years, and people have been less and less willing to listen to the other side. And because of that, the summer before junior year, I actually ended up going to a summer program that really focuses on just polarization in general and critical thinking, being open to listen to others. Mm-hmm. And I actually, there's one thing I really remember from that program. It's like the first day, the professor walked in, and he gave a speech about how polarized the country is and just the world in general. Mm-hmm. And he said, no matter what, you always have to make sure you listen to the other people, like, no matter how crazy they seem, no matter how, like, no, like, without any logical reasoning, their views may seem like they have. But he said, no matter what, you always listen to them, try to empathize with them, and most importantly, never call them stupid, evil, crazy. He mm-hmm. used those exact three words. Mm-hmm. So I always try to live by that mantra. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's a really good time, and we actually have to stop for an ad break now. But I welcome our viewers to come back right after the ad break. We'll be right back.
肌肉骨骼伤痛、车祸、工伤，请找康健脊椎治疗中心肖明医师。康健，祝您健康。电话206-621-7501，206-621-7501。
巴克利律师事务所专业受理人身伤害索赔，多年来专门办理车祸等意外受伤的案子。索赔成功过后收费，不成功则不收费。联系电话206-920-6721，206-920-6721。
位于 Redmond 和 Bellevue 的小百灵幼儿园，为一岁半到六岁的小朋友提供中英双语教学，由爱心优质教师执教，并配有营养美味配餐、每周主题课程、艺术兴趣教育等。电话。425-761-3726，425-761-3726。
回到西雅图少年说，我是 Jessie， 你们今天主持人。但是我想继续问一下我们今天嘉宾一些问题。So Brenda, so can you just like, I love hearing about your show, Your Life Matters. So, another thing I know about you is that you also try to help people improve their lives and mindsets. So can I ask you what inspired you to focus on that? And, like, how do you really help them? Like, do you give any advice? Like, just tell me a bit about your experience.
Okay, so on that note there, my mother's my inspiration. The reason being is my mom's been diagnosed schizophrenic paranoia. Been that way since the age of 16, I was told, around that time. And so I moved her from Boston to here because she needed to have extra care. And, you know, one day we were going to a restaurant, and she came out and said, well, Brenda, you know, can a black person come to this restaurant? And I had to stop, and I'm like, where in the world she got that? And then I realized that those with mental illness, like schizophrenic, it's like their life stopped. So whatever the trauma that they went through, all right, it stopped at that time frame. So they're locked in the two worlds. So they're locked in the past, all right, of what they remember, but trying to live in the present. So it's so overwhelming. Their mind is like on overdrive. And so forth. So that's what got me to start when I was doing a coaching call, Unshackled, was helping individuals to understand you're not what's in your head, all right? Granted, you know, it's hard to find people that you can trust and account for, so that you have an accountable partner, but I encourage people to try to find somebody on that so you're not just staying in your head from there. So that's what got me started into helping individuals, if I could, is to, you know, help them to think the process through, not for me to try to tell them what to think, because I don't live in their household, because once I'm gone, they have to be able to implement it when I'm gone. So just to give them the encouragement to know that their thoughts are valued, all right? We might have to nurture it a little bit, whatever, but still their thoughts and ideas are still important. They're valued. It's who they are. So if I can encourage them to have a positivity about who they are and how they think and not let other people make them feel that what they're thinking is, what you, as you said, stupid or whatever, to me that's successful. And that's what I see today is that we have a society where they want to try to make people feel incompetent, that there's only a monologue, there's no dialogue. And so forth. So even if you try to give your opinions, whatever like that, you're wrong. Well, for the youth of today, it is so crucial, all right, for them to provide opinions, all right, because they're trying to nurture and tailor in their mindset who they are and how they can try to figure things out and where does all these pieces fit. But if we take the youth of today and let them know, nope, the only dialogue you have is a monologue, this is the only way we want you to think, I really believe in my heart it creates rebellion within that youth because now they feel trapped. They feel that they don't have a voice. They feel that they can't think. They feel that they're not valued. And then they go, okay, well, where do I fit in if I can't do any of these things? So that's why it's so important what I do, with helping people say, look, let me give you an example. When the military moved me here in Washington State, I was assigned to a boat unit down in Tacoma. And one of my responsibilities was to make sure people retain and stay in the Army Reserves. So I found one of the individuals that was supposed to come back. I found out he belonged to my section of the workplace. So him and his friend came in. He reported in, all right, so that we could be able to get him situated, try to figure out why he's not showing up for his assignment, his task, and so forth. His friend comes up and says, well, you know what? I only have a GED, and I was told that a GED is not good enough. So this is why I didn't go to the service because I'm not good enough for that. I said, wait a minute, back the card up. Because what happened is my administrator says, well, you know that's right. I'm like, no, you're wrong. All right? No matter what level of education that you have, you are still a valued individual. Nobody can stop you from doing anything unless you allow them to do that to you. All right? But the thing is that whatever you bring to the table, we should value that. And then what it is, then we help build that up for them to make it whatever that special thing that they had their dream on or that vision or whatever that case may be, and help them to make that look special. Or it might need to be changed a little bit. But either way, whatever they bring to the table, we need to help to value that piece, show them how they can excel in that piece, all right, so they can feel better within themselves and knowing that they can and they don't have to depend on somebody to do it for them.
Yeah, I think you said that very well. That reminds me, like, I'm Chinese and my parents immigrated from China. They immigrated to Canada first before the U.S., and I do remember my mom telling me stories about her college days back in Canada because she was, like, one of the first people in her family to immigrate. She didn't know anyone in Canada. She knew how to speak English, but not very well, not as well as, like, someone who had been born and, like, grew up in Canada. So she struggled a lot, and she was, like, she had no money. And so someone may look at, like, that kind of person and be like, hey, you're not going to be successful because you barely speak a language, you don't have any money, and, like, that's maybe not a very good setup for life. But obviously, my mom moved to the U.S. I'm here now. We're living a pretty good life. So it really shows how, like, a mindset can really help you, like, break past barriers. Like, don't say, oh, I only have a GED, or, mm-hmm. oh, I don't have a college degree, therefore I cannot I don't know, I can't go get this job or that job. Actually, I do remember about 2 years ago or so, summer before 10th grade, I remember thinking that I wanted to prove that I was good enough. So what I did was, my future major, I wanted to major in design. So I started applying to internships, but there's not really any design majors for high schoolers. It's not very common. So I applied to a few internships for college students, even though obviously I'm underqualified. I'm not in a bachelor's degree. I haven't graduated high school, and I barely have a portfolio. But I wanted to do it, A, just to see if I could, and B, just because I didn't have anything to lose. And I did get accepted into one internship. Unfortunately, I did not have the time to take on the role because the position was very demanding, mm-hmm. and of course, I had school. And so it can just really show how the U.S., I think one of the best things about U.S. is having so many opportunities. Like, as a high schooler, we can get internships, and then, of course, American Dream, where you can, like, my parents, well, I guess they started in Canada, but they started from, like, completely broke all the mm-hmm. way to moving to the U.S. Mm-hmm. and this, like, building a good life for themselves.
Well, you got to remember, when your parents came from China to Canada, they didn't come inexperienced. And that's the one thing people need to understand. Your family had experience when they came here. All they did was either enhance it or change it a little bit to help them to be successful. That's the message that we need people to understand. When you come to this country, you didn't come inexperienced. You came with experience. The question is now, how do we use that experience? Do we make a little change or do we enhance what you are? You know, when I was listening to you and we talked about outside appearance, okay? And the one scripture that came out when Samuel went to find a king and he saw need to get a King David, you know, because Saul screwed up. So God said, we have to kick him to the curb. We need David now. So David had, you know, six other brothers, you know, and God made it very clear, which helps me to keep me from judging others. It's not by the outside appearance. It's the intent of heart. That's what society's trying to prevent people to understand. They're trying to suppress your intent of heart. Your intent of heart is your will, all right? What is it that you want to do that's going to make you successful? You know, God saw David's heart. He knew that he had the right mind, the right heart to do the job that he needed them to do. So I always try to encourage people, look, you've got the right intent of heart. Don't let anybody suppress that from you. If you want to be desired, test the waters and go see. You will never know what you can do until you test the waters. Never. All right? But if we listen to other people, all right, then you know what? All you're doing is living in their shadows by their limitations because they're going to drop the ceiling on you and not help you rise up, all right, to do that. So let me give you an example. Once again, I'm going to give you a recruiting example. We had a young lady come from Georgia. Her dad promised that he'll help her go to college, okay? Been here for 2 years. Didn't do anything for her. So she walked into the door of our office. You know, she tested. She qualified. She got the job because she wanted to go to college, so she has the GI Bill. She qualified for that. So when it was time for her to leave for her boot camp, guess who called? Her dad. Why is she leaving? Where is she going? She shouldn't go. And we're like, wait a minute, back it up. You had your daughter for 2 years. She trusted in you to help her to succeed, but you didn't do that. So she took it upon herself to try to be successful in what she's trying to do. And this is the willpower I'm talking about for each every person, no matter what age you may be, is that you don't allow somebody to suppress you from your dream, your vision, your goal, and what you want to try to do. Just because you don't look like what people want you to be doesn't mean that your will from the inside is that way.
Yeah, I think that's really good. So I also want to ask you, I know like public speaking, I think I saw statistics on it one time. It's one of the biggest fears in America, at least. And it's understandable. It's easy to talk to like one or two people with your friends, people you know. But it's not easy to go on a radio station or a podcast or in front of a audience and like talk about something. Also something that could potentially be controversial, which is sometimes what you do. So can I ask, like, if you can give any advice to our viewers about how they can potentially stand up and, like, speak their voice in front of a large audience, even if it's controversial or it's not controversial, just, like, any advice you may have?
Mm-hmm. Well, to start first is that you have to believe in your message, but it has to be the message that's a heart of you, not what somebody else is saying. You can always mess up when you try to take somebody else's message and make it your own. If you've got something that you're passionate about, that alone gives you confidence enough to be able to speak to other people. The second thing is that, you know, write it down, okay, and then go over it and then fine-tune it. And then when you do that, you know, stand in front of a mirror or something or stand in front of friends and just speak that message out, all right? Be your self-critique, all right, and then fine-tune it that way. Those are the two things that's going to give you the confidence to know that I can speak in front of anybody to do that. But right now, what you guys are doing right now and what I've seen a lot on Facebook with, I like this one in Korea where the guy says, you know, what are some of the concerns that you have about Korea? You know, it's, you know, just getting people to talk. You know, those are other things, too. Have fun doing those type of things, you know, little, you know, podcast type things, little TikTok type of things and so forth. Because the more that you do that, the more that you have confidence to be able to speak the message that you want people to hear, what you have there. But it has to be your message that makes a whole different, not somebody else's that you're trying to repeat.
Yeah, I think that's very good because I know like a lot in a day and age, of course, American education is pretty good, but a lot of times it's just memorizing what people shove down our throat.
Mm-hmm.
So especially when it comes to like politics, when something is so controversial and sensitive, you really have to go and dig in deep and mm-hmm. explore like the stances of both Republicans, of Democrats, and maybe even like more other like stances that's mm-hmm. not this traditionally followed to either Republican or Democrat views.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's a thing American schools could really emphasize on, just like critical thinking skills, trying to figure out what to believe in, and mm-hmm. not only that, why. Is it because your parents or teachers told mm-hmm. you to believe in that,
mm-hmm.
or because you actually have reasoning mm-hmm. and you actually believe it in yourself?
Okay, so you brought up a good point on that, all right, which is a little different spin off of what you brought up there. So people don't realize years ago, I'm going to show my age, you know, but then again, even earlier than that, you know, people don't realize back in the 1800s, you know, they did have debates. There were black Americans, all right, as well, Frederick Douglass, you know, Du Bois, all those guys. They all travel around the world, even overseas, and did public speaking about their point of views and issues. People forget about that. The other thing is, in my school days, they used to have debate classes. So different high schools competed against each other on debate classes. All these things have been taken away, all right, so that you would not be independent mind thinkers, all right, which is a very sad thing. In regards to that. So if I had to encourage anybody is, you know what, this is something that you should think about. Maybe we should create a debate class. But when we do that, let's make sure we have our rules and policies so that we're doing a healthy debate, not arguing. There's a totally different thing about that. All right. But debates are supposed to be so that you're learning the different point of views. You're not trying to battle the minds and try to force somebody to do that. When you educate people, you are persuading them to say, I need to stop and think about it and go, when I thought about that issue, was it really correct? Maybe I need to research more. That's how debates are supposed to work, in a way to allow the person to go, you know what, she has a good point. Let me research more and find out. Back in my days in the 60s and the 70s, that's how we got to learn about each other. That's how we got to learn about the different cultures, is because we were willing to work together to understand each other. And do that, but not try to force our ideology upon somebody else.
Yeah, I agree. That reminds me of an article I read actually this morning. I was asleep this morning, so I was just reading some article. And I found out that Cornell, like a year or two ago, had a theme, which is about free expression, which is a great theme. I completely support that. But the one thing that truly shocked me was a few years ago, they invited a more conservative speaker over. So
mm-hmm.
I believe she was speaking about immigrant policies,
mm-hmm.
and she was she spoke about how she believes the U.S. should limit immigrants. And she gave a speech at Cornell, and what happened is I think a professor got arrested for insulting her,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of like ruckus about that, and I was so shocked,
mm-hmm.
because like it doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree with her mm-hmm. view, you shouldn't go around insulting someone just because of their view. And at the very least, approach it with a curious mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I, like, after I go to college, and if my college invites a speaker that's completely different from my political views or mm-hmm. some other kind of view, even if I didn't agree with that, I would probably go out of curiosity and just be mm-hmm. like, hey, why do you believe in that? I've never seen a person with that view before. Mm-hmm. Maybe, like, I'll listen to reviews, and who knows, I might even change my own mind
mm-hmm.
by keeping an open mind. So do you actually have any advice for our viewers on how to keep an open mind or even like standing up for our own views when it's so like controversial, and like what if people attack you? Because I'm sure that has happened to you before. Some people have like disagree with you and maybe even insulted you. So how do you like deal with that kind of thing?
Well, the thing is, you got to be true to yourself. If you're not going to do that, then you might as well just put yourself in the closet. So like I explained to people, it's like, why do you want to be invisible? That's what you're doing. You're making yourself invisible. Why do you want to do that? You know, if you want us to respect you and you want us to acknowledge your presence, don't be afraid to stand up. You don't have to know everything. The one thing that's going to be important is that you got to be able to love yourself enough to stand up and go, no, that's not what I believe in. I may not understand everything, but this is where I stand. All right. That's what's important, because if you don't do that, I guarantee you, you're not going to love and value yourself for who you are. You're going to be frustrated because you're going to sit there and go, you know, I should have said that. Should have, would have, could have is not going to get you that far. But the thing is, if you stand up for who you are, that is your first step of life of getting to be able to have that voice. It's just standing. The other thing is that when you deal with somebody who's confrontational, let them talk. Don't even debate, because right now they only hear the beat of their own drum in their head. do not even discuss anything with them. Just let them go. Once you're done, like I said, well, thank you very much. I appreciate your side of you, and call it a day. Because there are some people that you just can't talk to or rational. You just can't. All right. Although you want to try to, you're thinking that you're doing your best by helping them to understand your side of, they just don't want that. So that's the other thing is that people don't understand is you do not have to try to persuade people to take your side. You don't. What makes a community want to support you is how you handle yourself, not how you argue or debate with somebody. So when you handle yourself with dignity and respect and go, you know what, I appreciate what you're saying, thank you very much, and leave it alone, that rings more of value than you trying to debate or argue with the person. Because what happened is then you sound just like that individual, then you look like that individual, like a little banshee arguing out of a control, and now the people can't determine, is she just like this person, we can't talk to her, all right, or this person's handled herself very nicely, we can talk to her, she's rational. That's what's happening is that society wants to try to drag us into the point like we're always yelling and fighting. So that way nobody, or especially those who are hiding in the closet, afraid to talk to somebody, won't talk to you because they feel like you're no different than the other person who's been yelling and debating all the time.
Yes, I agree. Handling yourself with dignity is really important. Now, I think we're actually at a time where there's another ad break, so I'll see you guys right back after this.
世纪游轮2024年最佳推荐中国梦超豪华21天参观台北北京西安重庆长江三峡上海桂林阳朔香港11月15号出发江山如此多娇超豪华16天五星级游轮阳台房从上海到重庆穿越七省市美景11月25号出发北美华人独家包船西雅图出发包机票五星酒店每人仅3999元起，世纪游轮626-666-6999，626-666-6999。
西雅图中文电台需要您的支持。如果您曾经听到过西雅图中文电台的节目，如果您曾经在西雅图中文电台网站或者微信平台上读到过我们的报道，如果您参加过中文电台举办的演出或者其他活动，请您支持我们。西雅图中文电台是由非营利组织西雅图华人广播协会支持的，大多数的主持人多年来义务为西雅图以及全球的华人提供精神食粮，请您向具有 501c3 免税资格的西雅图华人广播协会捐款，捐款的 PayPal 账号是 scbaseattle@gmail.com， 捐款电话206-619-8698 206-619-8698。西雅图中文电台感谢您的支持。
有温度，
有深度，
有角度，
这里是流光溢彩的思辨舞台，
讲风趣，
讲情趣，
讲乐趣，
这里有纯正地道的情境美语。
您正在收听的是西雅图中文电台西雅图少年说。
欢迎大家回到西雅图说，我是 Justin 今天主持人，但是我先想问一下大家，你们有没有其他问题来问 Brenda？
So I know you mentioned that you like coach people and have worked with a lot of people. So I was wondering what was one of the most like inspirational stories that you've encountered with like people before and after coaching?
One of them was a young lady was trying to apply for a position. It was a management position and they informed that she had to do a little bit better on her interviews. From there, so what I've done was created a mock interview as if she was entering into the room, sitting down with the person. We did a video mocking so that way she can see herself, you know, as she enters in and see herself as she answers the questions and so forth. So she can take that home and just practice with that and so forth. Because when you try to make it real, it becomes more relatable and so that it's easier to be able to work with and understand what the person is trying to want you to do. So by doing that, she called me back and she said, Brenda, I got the management position. This is rocking awesome. So she was pretty ecstatic because she wasn't confident enough about sitting in front of a group of people. All right. It wasn't a one-on-one. It was like sitting with a group of people trying to answer questions for them. And she just didn't have that confidence within herself to do that. But when she saw herself as answering those questions, going through different processes, she realized what she needed to do to be successful.
Wow, that sounds really inspirational. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of like usefulness in it for all of us here. And I also was just wondering, like, you've talked a lot about the people that you've helped, and I'm kind of curious about yourself. So what is one of the things that you're most proud of
What I'm most proud of is, two things. One is going through the military. Like I said, I went at 23. You know, when you're going a little older, your body doesn't function as quickly as the one that are younger. But to be able to go through all of that, you know, at 23 years old was very important for me because I finally did something that I can say I finished. You know, you have that feeling when you start so many projects and you didn't complete that one, you start another one, you know, that also has an emotional effect on you, you know, because you feel like you're not smart enough, you're not worthy enough. But for me to finish the military with over 20 years of service was a big accomplishment for me. In regards to that. And it helped gain respect for some of my family members to know that I've done something that was worthwhile. The other thing was starting my business. I love being an entrepreneur, started a janitorial company. We've been pretty successful in regards to that. So that was my second thing, was able to do that. I fulfilled a dream that I wanted to do for years, and I was able to do that.
Yeah, that's great. I also want to ask from the other people whether you have any questions. What about you, Aiden Brian?
Thank you so much for asking. We actually did have a question. So you've been involved in so many leadership and activities such as in the leadership realm. So we were wondering what would you value as some of the most important qualities of a leader, and how do you think young people can start developing those qualities in their everyday lives?
Okay, so believe it or not, you're doing those qualities right now. All right. People kind of mistake leadership as some type of curriculum program that you have to do. But each and every one of you, you know, you are a leader in regards to that. But for me, what happened is that I was kind of born into that, if I can say that, because once again, I said I was from a broken home. My grandmother raised me. I'm the eldest of five, so didn't have much choice but to be that leader with that family. In regards to that, for a young person to want to be a leader, it's all about that willpower. Okay, you got to be willing to do that. So when I mean willpower, I mean if you make a mistake, you got to be willing to stand up and say, "I made a mistake, but this is how I'm going to correct that." Or, "Can you please forgive me? This is what I want to do." You got to be willing to step into the game. So some things might be challenging in regards to that, but you got to be willing to say, "You know what? I'm going to do this." Because it has to be done, you know, from there. It's that willingness to do. Because what happened is your life, believe it or not, is a storybook for everybody to see. Whether you're in high school, college, no matter what, work, whatever, everything that you do in life is a storybook of who you are. So when people respond to you and say, "Well, you know, you're this is how I see you, this is what you said, you know, you're interpreting this way," you know, you look, it's what they're telling you is this is the story that we see about you. All right. In regards to it. So that should be a little indicator to go, okay, is this something that I want people to see about me all the time? Or should I make an adjustment on that from there? So being a leader basically means it's what people are doing on TikTok and everything. You're an influencer. Bottom line, you're just an influencer. And so when you want people to follow you, it depends on what you have packaged as being an influencer. Is there integrity? Is there honesty? Is there a person that says, "You know what, I made a mistake, please forgive me, can I do that?" You know, is there a person who's willing to stand up even when they're afraid? You know, and so forth. So that's one of those things that you need to be. And even if a person doesn't even agree with you, it's okay. All right, because the main thing is it's not the 99 who sees you, as I tell my guys when I was in leadership, it's that 1%. That 1% is what's going to change that 99. So the thing is, if that 1% can say, "You know what, I want to be like that person, I'm not strong enough, but I want to see how he or she is doing that," you are being an influencer in somebody's life by doing that. So the thing is that, I know I go to scriptures all the time, but the thing is, it's the same thing when Paul was training up Timothy. You know, Timothy was a very young pup, you know, for disciples. You know, Paul was training up. He says, "Look, don't let the world, all right, put you down because of your youth." All right. It's solidly scriptural. I'll say it to the youth today. Don't let the world put you down because of your youth. Do you know that the people that signed the Constitution was no older than 16, 17, 18, and 19 years old, although they looked old? Research that. All right. You'd be surprised. All right. Of the age of the individuals who made a difference in this world in regards to that. So the thing is, do not let the age be the factor, all right, there. So be determined, all right, and what you want to do and how you want to do it and so forth. Now, believe it or not, I got to tell you guys a joke since you brought that up. In the high schools, they do these, what do you guys call it now, about your character, whatever, the surveys or whatever that you guys do. All right, and so I picked up my daughter from school. She says, Mom, look at this. She said, this is not who I am. I said, Jill, I wasn't there taking this survey. All right, because the problem was it matched who my personality was. So, you know, as I'm a pick on your youth, as you guys, I can't be like my mom. I can't be like my dad. No, that just can't be me. So that's what I was dealing with my daughter. It's like, no, Mom, this is you all the way through. I was like, no, Jill, I wasn't in the class, and when I took this, this is who you are. So the other thing is look within yourself and go, okay, how much of my dad or mom or grandparents' leadership traits do I have within me, all right, that I refuse to acknowledge, but it's there, all right? If you sit down and really make a note, you'll be surprised of how much of those leadership skills you already have within you. Just don't be afraid to exercise it.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I think I really liked your point about, like, kind of being a leader isn't always about kind of the, I guess, stereotypical streamlined way that a lot of youth, I think it is, where it's like you're taking charge or you're being super confident. But it's kind of a very individualized experience where everyone's experience of being a leader can be unique, yet it can all still have a profound impact on someone else's lives.
Which is correct, because even up to today, which I'm still surprised, people still confuse leadership with management. Okay, leadership and management is two different entities. All right, so I already told you leadership is more about influence. All right, so that other people will follow and want to do. Management, yeah, what you're saying is correct. Telling people what to do, how it's supposed to be done, that's the operational side, all right, of your function. All right, so you hit it the nail on the head. It's two different entities. So leadership is so crucial because you got to remember that your life can lead somebody to do what's good or it can lead somebody to do what's bad. All right. So you have a choice of how you want to be, how you want your story life to be that other people want to follow.
Yeah, that's a great point. And so my question is, we've heard a lot about you, your story and your beliefs. And with your limited exposure of our show and what we do, do you have any advice for us here at Seattle Youth Talk?
Yeah, I because she knows me how it is. The first time I met Chi and Khan was when we were fighting against affirmative action, all right, and the unfairness in regards to the Asian community with the SAT scores and going into colleges. I'm not a fan for affirmative action in regards to that. But the thing is that I really believe in my heart, any culture that comes into the U.S., should not form with U.S. mindset, all right? It's a right to, you know, experience different things in the U.S. That's not a problem. The problem that I see is that people want to put their culture in the closet and say, I want to be Americanized. That is the worst thing you can ever do. Worst thing you can ever do and stuff. So I know that one time, you know, I think Khan was doing, I think they were doing, correct me if I'm wrong, stories or reports or little speeches and so forth like that. And, you know, I try to encourage them, look, you know, have your youth talk about their family culture and who they are so people can get to learn who the Chinese Americans or Chinese that came here, who they are. What are they about? I want to know who you are. I don't need clones. I don't need that. That's what the world's trying to do is clone everybody. So there's only one mindset. I want to know your country. I want to know your family. I want to know about the food. I want to know all of this because this is who God created you to be. I have no right to change you. But I want to encourage the youth of today, do not be afraid of what country you came from. That's who I want to see. When you come to the U.S., you are supposed to act like an investor in your life. You're investing into our country so that we get to know who you are, the skills that you have, the profession that you have that makes us greater. If you come in as a clone, then there's no change because you're doing the same thing what everybody else is doing. There is no change. So I encourage, you know, those in China and those here in the U.S., stand up for who you are, especially for the youth. It would bother my heart to know that a parent has their child and doesn't teach them the language, doesn't teach them the history, doesn't teach them how to write, or doesn't even take them back home to even see their country. To me, that's cultural sterilization. All right, that should never take place. All right, your country, all right, is beautiful. It is worth for everybody to see. What happened is that we need to respect that culture. And when we travel there, we need to respect that home. It's like going into somebody's house. You don't have the right to come into my house and tell me how to move my furniture, how to play. That's not how it should be when we go to different countries. We should be respecting that country, learning that culture, look at the different places that's built. That is just amazing in regards to that. But a person comes to the U.S., you should not conform. So let me give you an example, like World War II. When Germans came to the U.S., they made sure they didn't speak their language. When the Jews came through here, they made sure they didn't wear the Star of David. Do you understand? Because they were trying to blend in, because it was still sensitive at that time, you know, coming back out of World War II, to blend in and have a new life. It is not that way anymore. All right. What's happening is our leadership is creating fear. All right. In every culture, thinking that when they come, they do not have an opportunity, all right, to have a new life, or they will never be accepted because of how they look, or their culture, or how they speak and so forth. I just want to encourage everybody, please, please kick that to the curb, please. They're just trying to control you so that they can conform you to their needs. That's all that is. I expect people that when they come to this country, I want to know who you are. I want to know. I love to eat, so I want to know the food. All right. Music, the whole nine yards. You're investing into something. All right. But the last thing I want to leave is this. When you come here, you're letting your family at home, whether it be China or whatever the cities in China, you're letting them know that you're being successful. You're letting know that you're representing China, not the leadership. You're representing China. Okay. Just like with my family, they're from the Caribbean. All right. So we represent the Caribbean, not the government, but the Caribbean. All right. Your citizenship. All right. And so you want to make them feel like they're the best people in the world that we want to go see when we visit China. So in a way, you kind of have a responsibility of who you are because of your birth. All right. Which is kind of a heavy responsibility. But I want to encourage the youth. Do not conform. Be excited about who you are, and then give me your skills. Give me your abilities. Give me who you are. I'm excited because what you bring to the table is going to enhance us.
Yeah, I think that's really great. I think a really good example of, like, the conformity that you mentioned is just actually food. Like, I know you say you love food. I love food, too. And it's just like how a lot of foods, when they come over to America, they become kind of Americanized. Like Chinese food, for example, many people may think of, like, orange chicken or fried rice, which is like, yes, it's good. And don't get me wrong, I love orange chicken. It's one of my favorite foods out there. But it's not like very traditional Chinese food. Mm-hmm. Like if you go to China, you really wouldn't see it. Mm-hmm. And another example, actually, it's a fun fact about me. I went to an art school for 4 months beginning of this year. And I was in California, like the Napa area. So, yeah, California has a lot of Mexicans there. And I had some of the best Mexican food I've ever had in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Mexican food, very popular in the U.S. If you think Mexican, maybe you're thinking of Chipotle, which I love Chipotle, don't get me wrong. But going to Napa and living in California where there's a large Mexican population and, like, basically living with them because we live in the same city and eating authentic Mexican food, it was like a completely different experience mm-hmm. than had I just, I don't know, went to Chipotle and say, oh, this is Mexican food. It's very different. And that is what happens. And I think that's my favorite part about U.S., like the diversity. It's like truly a melting pot. Because right now I'm a senior in high school. So it's about the time I apply to colleges. And I've been looking at colleges in different countries and even continents just out of curiosity. And I think I remember, I just Google online, oh, pros and cons of studying abroad. Just, yeah, a very basic thing to Google. And I think one of the interesting things that popped up is people saying, oh, one of the worst things is you don't get the food. You don't get, like, oh, for example, you go to Australia or, like, the UK, oh, you don't get good Chinese food. You get, like, not as authentic Chinese food than in the U.S. where there's, like, Chinese, Mexicans, African Americans, just like an entire group of different cultures and ethnicities. And I think that's one of my favorite parts. So I think our time here is actually about to be up. It looks like we've reached the end of our hour, but I really encourage everyone to listen to your podcast. Real Life Matters seems really interesting, and it supports your work. And yeah, I encourage everyone to come back to listen to us next week, same time, Saturday at 8 o'clock. All right, goodbye, everyone.
感谢收听西雅图中文电台每周六晚上为您带来的西雅图少年说。
您可以在节目中拨打电话888-298-5569，
或者在我们的社交媒体、脸书、微信、微博等留言。
也可以成为我们的嘉宾，分享您的故事，倾诉您的困惑。
您可以通过冠名、广告或赞助等方式来支持我们的节目。
西雅图少年说，期待您的热情参与。
下周六晚上8点，我们准时相约。